Grove Lutheran Church. I am grateful for your presence among us today. This is a big day of celebration in our life together. This afternoon at 3 o'clock is the service of installation where I will formally be installed as your pastor. My hope is that we can still have the service outdoors. We're going to make that determination after this service, but when the time comes for you to come back, it will be clear whether or not the service will be indoors or outside. But there will be plenty of ushers to show folks where to park and where to go. The scholarship committee is still working hard on their gift card raffle. If you would like to donate any gift cards, please give them to Sherry or Joe. And I think Joe's been going around selling raffle tickets, so please keep that in mind. We have a finance committee meeting this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and then next Monday we will have a council meeting. We have several birthdays this week. Mason Chapman, whose birthday is actually today, Todd Kepley, Brandon Conrad, Anna Lohr, John Proctor, and Tim Hilton. We also have several anniversaries, Joe and Bonnie Hedrick, Joe and Jennifer Davis, and John Michael and Teresa Fritz. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Let us pray.
All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ,
you turn death into life
and defeat its victory. Increase our faith and trust in you,
that we may triumph over all evil, in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord. Let us say the Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths,
I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. If you were to keep watch over sins, yet with you is forgiveness. I wait for you, O Lord.
I
My soul waits.
Your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. For the Lord shall redeem Israel. The second reading is from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scriptures, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And let us proclaim together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he went home, and the crowd came together so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they have said he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Would you like to sit down? Morning, everybody. The Old Testament lesson that Miss Debbie read just a few minutes ago is about Adam and Eve, the first humans ever created, and when they were living in the Garden of Eden. And it said that, well, first of all, they had eaten from a tree that God had told them not to eat from. And after they did that, they knew that they had done something wrong, that they had sinned against God. And so later that evening, when God came to spend some time with them, like God had been doing, they were afraid to be with God because they knew they had sinned. And so they hid from God. And then when God asks them what happened, it's interesting what they all say. First, Adam says, "Eve made me do it." And Eve said, "The serpent, the snake made me do it." And I think it's really interesting because I think that we all of us as humans, do the same thing, that when we are having conversation with God in prayer, sometimes we're afraid of what God is going to think, and we're afraid to tell God the things about ourselves that we don't necessarily like about ourselves, or the things that we do that we wish we hadn't done. We're afraid to say those to God. And so sometimes we hide those things from God. But then when the time comes to confess them and talk about them, one of the things that humans do so often is instead of accepting responsibility for what they've done wrong, we blame other people. We see it in the news. I think we all do it all the time. I know just the other day I was having an argument with my mother, and instead of accepting responsibility for my part in the argument, I wanted to be defensive and say, but I did this because you did this. So we all the time want to blame other people. But what God asks of us is to be honest with ourselves and with God about the things that we do wrong and the things that we wished we didn't do. And we can come to God in prayer and be honest in prayer. Because here's the thing, God already knows them anyway. Even if we were the best hiders in the world, we still couldn't hide anything from God. So God already knows. God just really asks us to be honest with God. And in just a minute, I'm going to preach on the psalm for today. And the psalms are probably my favorite book of the whole Bible, but the psalms help us to know what it can mean and look like to be really honest with God in our prayers. And so if you ever want to talk more about the Psalms, or if you're ever struggling about saying something to God where you want to say something to God and you just don't quite know how, or you don't have the words for it, you can ask me and I can help you with that, and maybe I can help you find a couple Psalms that might help you too. So finally, what I want to say is that when we are honest with ourselves and with God, and when we confess our sins, God always, always forgives us. There's nothing that we can do or say or not do or not say that will make God love us any less. God loves us so very much forever, and that can never be changed. And so it's always, always okay to be honest with God about our sins, because God will forgive us and love us forever. Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you that you always hear our prayers. Help us to be honest with you. And help us to remember that you always forgive us and that you will love us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have probably already noticed that the pyramids have been changed from white to green. We are officially in the season after Pentecost. This season is often referred to as ordinary time, and ordinary time carries us from the day after Pentecost all the way through Advent. This is the longest season in the church calendar. The color for ordinary time is green, which symbolizes our growth in faith and discipleship as we follow the teachings and ministry of Christ. Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Eastertide, and Pentecost all tell the story of Jesus' life. And in ordinary time, we join the disciples as we sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teachings and witness his earthly ministry among them. And we also think about how God is present to us and with us in the ordinariness of our own lives. Some years ago, I had an Old Testament professor that used to say, "The rest of the Bible speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us." I love that and have always remembered it. The Psalms speak for us. I love the book of Psalms, and other than the Gospels, I spend most of my time in Scripture in the Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of prayers and songs written by people in the Old Testament times. And in the Psalms, we find the entire breadth of the human experience and emotion in words. We find praise and anger, love and hate, joy and sorrow. Every part of human life is presented to God in the Psalms, even those parts that we don't want revealed. This beautiful collection of prayers in the Psalms shows us that every single part of our human life can be prayed. There is no experience, no emotion that cannot be brought up in our conversations with God. The Psalms invite us to be honest with God and ourselves in our prayers. Earlier this past week, when I was looking over all of the scriptures for this Sunday, I saw that Psalm 130 was the psalm, and I thought, oh, that's a lament psalm. And I thought it would be interesting to preach on a lament psalm because, let's face it, life is hard, and there are a lot of really hard and difficult things going on in the world. Our human tendency when things are difficult or painful can be to complain or grumble about God. But laments are prayers that cry out to God, trusting that God hears us and is present with us in the midst of our difficulties and pain. However, after a closer reading and study of this particular psalm of lament, I was jolted all too quickly out of my temptation to self-righteousness. This psalm is a lament, and the psalmist is crying out from the depths. But the depths isn't a place I am or where we are because of something happening to us or around us. The depths that the psalmist is crying out from are the depths that we've gotten ourselves into because of our own sinfulness. As Luther would say, we are curved in on ourselves. Instead of living our lives outward for God and others, we live inward for ourselves. And when we curve in on ourselves, we become selfish and self-absorbed and self-righteous, all of which distract us from the ways that our sinfulness causes suffering and heartbreak, sadness and grief. But this psalm reminds us and challenges us to honestly confront our iniquities, to honestly confront our sins, as well as the consequences that our sins have for us, for others, and for creation. For the psalmist, these depths are like the depths of the sea, deep waters that represent devastation, destruction, and death. Our sin causes devastation, destruction, and death. We don't like to talk about sin, much less acknowledge it, but this psalm calls us to humble ourselves and to honestly confront our own sinfulness. And this psalm tells us what to do in those depths, to hope. Hope is an intense form of waiting. It isn't just patiently waiting in line at the supermarket or patiently waiting in the drive-thru line to get our food. Our Christian understanding of what it means to wait is not to wait in despair, but to wait in hope for the Lord. In Hebrew, the language that the Psalms were originally written in, the words wait and hope are synonyms, and both of them are rooted in the Hebrew word for trust. Waiting and hoping are rooted in trust. We trust in who God is. God is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. God doesn't watch out for our iniquities. God forgives them. Who God is and how God acts are the same. God acts in love and mercy and grace by forgiving us our sins and redeeming us. God hears our cries from the depths, just like God heard the Israelites cry out from bondage in Egypt, and just like God heard Jesus cry out on the cross. And God not only hears our cries from those depths, but God is present with us and to us in those depths. And there is no place that this is more fully expressed than in Jesus' death on the cross. Beloved, there is no place beyond the reach of God's forgiving and loving presence. Not even the depths we dig for ourselves with our own sinfulness. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the
Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of wholeness, we pray for believers all over the globe. Unify us in service of the gospel, that we may work together as beloved siblings to share your love with all. Hear us, O God. God of the universe, we pray for creation, the gardens, waterways, and creatures near to us, and diverse forms of life that remain unseen. Teach us to treat the natural world with reverence, seeking restoration when human divisions have caused harm to your beloved creation. Hear us, O God. God of all people, we pray for harmony among the nations. Cast out from us unclean spirits of greed and fear, that we may work in solidarity with one another for the common good. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
God of abundance, we pray for those who are oppressed or in any need. Encourage those who have begun to lose heart. Strengthen and renew us with your Spirit. Give healing to those who are sick and comfort those who mourn. We pray especially for Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, Sherry, Michael and Adam Watts, grandsons of Janine, the Heitman family, and Jimmy, as well as the friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name either upon our lips or in our hearts. Hear us, O God. God of righteousness, we pray for this holy house of worship. Set our gaze among things eternal, that in thanksgiving for your mercy, we may extend grace to more and more people. Hear us, O God. God of faithfulness to your people, today we rejoice with Pastor Anna on her ordination and celebrate this occasion with her. We give you thanks for Pastor Anna and the ministry she has begun here at Holly Grove. We ask your blessing on her and this congregation as we work together to serve you and grow in love. Hear us, O God. God of the ages, in your goodness, you have sent us faithful witnesses for every time and place. We give you thanks for those saints who now rest in your eternal mercy. Hear us, O God.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share God's peace with those around you. Peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Thank you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Share the good news.